Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains creeping dread, claustrophobia, and discussions of decay. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You fall asleep in a house that sits next to an old, uncared-for graveyard. At first, sleep is easy. The bed is warm and comforting. The blanket's tight on your body. But you start to wake up, realizing you've wrapped yourself too tight in your sheets. Trying to keep your eyes closed, you feel around for where the blankets are tightest, but your fingers only find warm soil. The creeping realization that you're not in bed settles in as you look around, your body beneath the graveyard dirt being squeezed by the compacting earth. Panic strikes you as the sound chews through your thoughts, the snapping of bones and rocks and powerful jaws. Your eyes settle into the graveyard's dim moonlight, and you see thousands of white worms burrowing into the earth. Killian, what is this creature?
The mummy.
How did you get the mummy from that?
I don't know.
Killian, it's the white worm. Let's open up the cryptic catalog and find out more.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was
Killian's listening ears have not been working lately, clearly. So, as always, first things first, we have our friend Cassidy and Ren to thank for introducing us to the white worm, because I have never heard of the white worm. Clearly, you've never heard of the white worm. So, Killian.
But I'm cute.
Have you heard of Rilm Shakeworth?
Nope.
Really? Have you not?
Wait, just kidding. Say the name again.
Well, no, I'm not going to because I've clearly said, I barely said it the first time. I've never heard of them either. We'll be calling them the White Worm for the sake of this episode because mommy doesn't want to say the name again. It's a lesser known entity from the Cthulhu mythos.
Ooh.
So we do know who
Cthulhu. H.P. Lovecraft.
Right. So we do know who Cthulhu is and who created him. H.P. Lovecraft, one of the masters of the Eldritch Horror. Well, the White Worm is a part of H.P. Lovecraft lore, but was actually created after Lovecraft passed away. Several writers have taken up creating characters, entities, and stories within the world of cosmic horror that Lovecraft created. So technically it is his world, but he didn't create it.
He didn't create Cthulhu?
No, he did create
Cthulhu.
But he didn't create the White Worm. Hmm. The White Worm was created by Clark Ashton Smith, a major contributor to the Cthulhu mythos and part of Lovecraft's second generation of writers. Smith is known for making the mythos more intimate and psychological, shifting horror away from cosmic spectacle and towards creeping dread and mental decay. The Coming of the White Worm was first published in Pulp Magazine Stirring Science Stories back in April of 1941. So before we talk about the White Worm, let's talk a little bit about the world building of the H.P. Lovecraft world building, all of that.
Yeah.
So for the most part, these are horror stories that focus on bending your mind to try and comprehend an unbelievable true reality. The stories are typically revolve around normal people with normal jobs and lives finding an ancient artifact or maybe an old book that opens up into a whole new world and that they get kind of brought into. Think about the first Toy Story movie. Spoilers ahead if you haven't seen Toy Story. Does Sid know that all the toys can come to life and that they have feelings?
No.
No, exactly. But then he messes with the wrong toys and they come to life in front of Sid and make him realize that there is a whole world that he never knew existed before. And they scare him senseless, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay. So
in how old was H.P. Lovecraft born? Like in like the BC?
No. In the H.P. Lovecraft universe, some characters come across an old necklace that makes them see strange and dark creatures roaming around while we go about, well, like the rest of the world goes about our lives unaware. Or ancient books that are filled with a forgotten language, but for some reason, some of the words make just enough sense that you can say them out loud, and that's all it takes to summon the creatures with thousands of teeth that hungers for
human flesh.
So the white worm is a member of gods called the Great Old Ones, meaning they are older than time and are so strange and foreign to us that they are beyond our understanding. So in Lovecraft lore, there's a fictional grimoire called the Book of Ebon.
What's a grimoire?
Like a book of spells, magic.
I want one of those.
Well, a lot of people create their own grimoire.
Ooh.
I've also heard people call it a grimoire, but I've always said grimoire.
Mm.
Do you remember in Scooby-Doo and the witch's ghost? Remember he has
right.
the grip? Yeah. This book was owned by a wizard named Ebon. I think I'm saying it that correctly. And contains, it's E-I-B-O-N.
Ebon.
And contains spells that require the blood of children, stories of great beasts like the white worm.
Daddy was talking about something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or a giant toad monster. And several notes on the land of Hyperborea. Hyperborea, again, I hope I'm saying that right, is a legendary continent in the Arctic. Before it was overwhelmed by the advancing ice sheets of the Ice Age, Hyperborea was a warm and fertile with lush jungles inhabited by the last remnants of the dinosaurs.
Ooh.
A race of yeti-like bipeds known as the Vormi once populated Hyperborea, but were wiped out by the pre-human settlers that migrated there from the south. These pre-humans built the first capital of Hyperborea. Hyperborea is where the white worm lives. This is all very complicated.
Look, where is Hyperborea?
This is all part of their world, like the H.P. Lovecraft world.
I was like, I wish I could go there. That sounds so cool.
So, if you like immersive world building, like
play Minecraft.
Well, hilarious. Grab your grown-up and learn more about the world of H.P. Lovecraft and the writers who continue to write about that world, because it is a very tangled web of information.
I think there is a kids version of H.P. Lovecraft.
I don't know. I know you used to have a alphabet book about H.P. Lovecraft that Unc got you when you were born. But anyway, it's a very tangled web of information and lore that is very fascinating, but it's also very disturbing. So it's definitely something that you would need a grown-up to kind of dig into with you and decide what you should and should not.
Read it for your bedtime story.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Look into. Anyway, but you needed to know that little bit of background information to understand about the white worm. Also, we have talked about before that H.P. Lovecraft is a little bit of a problematic huh? Author. Remember, we've talked about that before. He was not the best.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
anyway.
Good writers, good books, bad writers. At least the books are good. We can't change the writers.
Unfortunately, we cannot sometimes.
I'd love to, but...
We'd love to sometimes, but... Okay. Here is a direct quote, pull, if you will, about from the book of... What did we say it was? Ebon, talking about the white worm. Are you ready?
Yep.
I'm going to do a dramatic reading. Ready for it?
Yeah.
In all the world, there was naught that could not be likened for its foulness to the realm Shakorth. Something he had of the semblance of a fat white worm. But you're ruining my dramatic reading. Excuse me. But his bulk was beyond that of a sea elephant. His half-coiled tail was thick as the middle folds of his body, and his front reared upward from the dais in the form of a white round disc, and upon it were imprinted vaguely the line...
What?
Calm down. The lineaments of a visage belonging neither to a beast of the earth nor ocean creature. And amid the visage, a mouth curved uncleanly from side to side of the disc, opening and shutting incessantly on a pale and tongueless and toothless maw. The eye sockets of the realm Shakorth were close together between his shallow nostrils, and the sockets were eyeless, but in them appeared from a moment to the moment globules of blood-colored matter having the form of eyeballs, and ever the globules broke and dripped down before the dais. And from the ice floor of the dome there ascended two masses like stalagmites, purple and dark as frozen gore, which had been made by the ceaseless dripping of the globules. You don't know this joke, but all because I don't let you watch the show SpongeBob, so this makes no sense to you.
What's...
But other children watch SpongeBob, so this will make sense, and other adults watch SpongeBob.
Adults watch that show?
Well, like, back in the day when they were children. Oh, and I watched so very little SpongeBob, so this joke even makes fairly any sense to me. But all I can picture is there was an episode where it was a giant worm. Hold on, what was that worm called? Hold on. What was that giant worm?
Jinx?
From SpongeBob. Hold on, the Alaskan bullworm, that's what it was called. This is all I can picture the entire time I was reading that. It's probably not what H.P. Lovecraft had in mind, but that's all I can picture.
Looks like it's from Adventure Time.
Sure. I've never watched Adventure Time, but I'm sure that something in Adventure Time
looks
like...
You'd actually pretty like...
Oh, I'm not saying I wouldn't. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the worm so far with my dramatic reading?
It sounded perfect.
Thank you. It was almost like I used to be a theater major. That was...
She was. Spoiler alert.
That was a terrible reading. I was just being silly. But...
Yeah, I know.
Can you describe him based on my hilarious retelling? Can you describe what the worm looks like?
A fat glob.
They use that word globules a lot. So basically, our creepy friend
is... Yeah, it did say fat.
They did say fat.
They said it was a fat elephant.
No. He's a gigantic, pale white worm with a great gaping mouth and empty sockets for eyes that drip blood continuously, which is, you know, I was making a joke
pretty
about...
Pretty messed up.
I was making a joke about him looking like the worm from SpongeBob, but if you really think about that...
Yeah, it did.
That is actually genuinely terrifying.
That is what I pictured something else in my head from Adventure Time. It's a giant talking worm
mm-hmm.
that Finn and Jake have to go into to find the princess.
Gotcha.
It's so weird.
But if you think about a giant eyeless worm with blood dripping from its eyes, that's kind of horrifying.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up. That's like me in the morning. I am not a morning.
He was a being of unknown origin, although it is hinted that it originated from another world or dimension. It fed on the bodies, souls, and knowledge of the most powerful sorcerers, and the more it consumed, the larger it grew. It was also capable of causing those within its immediate vicinity to fall into a deep sleep, and it controlled their actions whilst in that state. The white worm is associated with decay, madness, and subterranean corruption rather than cosmic grandeur.
What does grandeur mean?
Like big and like, oh. Let me give you the. It's like big importance, like magnitude, like that kind of stuff.
Let me see in images what it says.
Greatness.
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 Okay.
Was that the story?
No, I don't know. I'm still reading.
Okay.
It is believed to dwell beneath the earth, particularly under ancient cities, graveyards, and forgotten places, where it slowly feeds on rot, both physical and psychological. Unlike many mythos beings, the white worm does not seek worship. Through temples or cults in the open. Instead, its influence spreads quietly through dreams, hallucinations, and obsessive thoughts, eroding sanity over time. Ooh, that's kind of weird.
That's pretty cool.
Those touched by the white worm often experience visions of pale, writhing forms, an overwhelming sense of claustrophobia, and the compulsion to dig or descend. Like, descend is like go down. And the entity symbolizes inevitable decay and the fear of what festers unseen, which explains the little, like, Killian picture this story in the beginning. Yeah. Does any of that sound a little... Oh, does that sound a little bit like how we started our episode? Daddy and I are on the same wavelength.
This happens a lot. If you're tuning in right now, that happens a lot. Oh, you got a bird.
My phone's been going off this entire time with birds.
Is it the same bird?
I don't know. I got a bird feeder camera for Christmas, and it's snowing outside, and so the birds are going crazy. So every time, the whole episode, my phone's been going off with birds, if that's what Killian is talking about.
Yeah.
So are you ready for a story?
Yes.
Okay. This one is called Careful What You Read. The last thing they remembered was the smell of ink and dust. Their mother's writing room was always cold, even in the summer. Shelves bowed with age, candle wax layered like sediment, the desk scarred by decades of restless thought. The book hadn't been there before. They were sure of it. A thin thing, pale as bone, its pages stitched rather than bound. Their mother's handwriting scrawled along the margins, tight and anxious, growing less and less legible towards the end. Do not read aloud, one note warned. They whispered anyway. Now there was no desk, no shelves, only ice. The wizard stood ankle deep in the frost, breath fogging in the air, surrounded by tunnels that bent and folded in impossible angles. The walls were smooth, translucent, faintly luminous, as if the moonlight had been trapped and frozen mid-glow. Every sound carried too far. Every movement echoed back wrong. They turned slowly, trying to remember how they had arrived, but their thoughts slid like water over glass. The maze did not feel carved. It felt grown. Then came the whisper. At first, it was indistinct, the wind threading through the cracks. Then syllables emerged, half words, unfinished thoughts, spoken in a voice that sounded uncomfortably familiar, their own perhaps, or their mother's. The whispers drifted from deeper in the tunnels, pulling rather than calling. And beneath them all, the sound of chewing. Wet, methodical, patient. The wizard pressed a hand to the ice wall. It pulsed faintly under their palm. The sound grew louder the further they walked, each step guided less by fear than the creeping certainty that this was where they were meant to go. The whispers praised their curiosity, thanked them for reading, for listening. The tunnel opened into a cavern vast enough to swallow sound itself. It was there. The white worm lay coiled through the chamber, its body pale and swollen, slick with the sheen that caught the light and bent it wrong. Segments shifted slowly, grinding against one another, and the chewing came from everywhere all at once. Its head lifted, not with purpose, but with inevitability. Where eyes should have been were hollow sockets, torn, ruined, trailing thick, dark blood that steamed as it hit the ice. The blood did not pool. It soaked and vanished as if the tunnels were drinking it in. The whispers then stopped. The wizard tried to step back, but the floor trembled and the ice beneath their feet softened, sagging like thawing wax. The worm did not need to see them. It tilted its head anyway, mouth opening. They understood then. The maze was not a place. It was a path. They had followed it perfectly. As the chewing grew closer, the last thought the wizard clung to was not fear, but recognition. The certainty that somewhere far above in a quiet writing room, a warning had been written far too late. So that's the white worm.
That was awesome.
I liked it. Listen, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't read H.P. Lovecraft. Not my jam. Yeah. But I like when I hear about it, like someone tells me about it.
Yeah, it seems better listening to it than reading it yourself.
Yes, I'm not a fan of the, like, writing.
Yeah, it was just a bit weird to me. Like, remember that word at the start? N-A-U-G-H-T.
Oh, not. That's not the reason I don't read it. Not as a normal, like, not as a pretty typical word. That just maybe just not in, like, a book that you've read.
Yeah, I thought it meant, like, not, like, N-O-T.
No, it's N-A-G-H-T. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not why. It's just not, like, my typical, like, style of reading and writing that I like to, like, go for usually, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
Everybody has their, like, vibe. But I like learning about it this way, like someone just telling me about it.
Yeah, that's me with shows I can't watch.
I also just, horror is not, like, my genre. I like thriller and, like, other types of genre. And
she likes romance.
Well, that's true, too. I do fantasy and romance. And thriller.
And rom-coms.
Correct. But horror is not usually my jam. So.
Yeah.
But I like learning about it this way so I could still hear about it without reading it myself. So I liked it. So thank you to Cassidy and Wren.
Thank you, Cassidy and Wren.
Because I really liked learning about the white worm because I had never heard of it before. Have you? And you clearly had not heard of it before.
Yeah, I should. Little Mommy Blankly.
Very, very unique story. I liked it.
Yeah. I liked the wizards. I like wizards.
Oh, you do like wizards. Yes, that's true. Yeah. But I liked it. So thank you so very much. And if you have a suggestion that you would like us to cover.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Make sure you very politely ask your grown-up to send us an email. Wait patiently until they are available to you. Wait till business hours. Yep. That's what I tell Killian.
After seven business hours. Gone.
Business hours are done. Killian's business hours keep getting earlier and earlier. And then send us an email with your suggestion. We have a long list to get through, and I love it because it means that we have excellent
supporters.
Yes, it does mean that. It means we have excellent listeners who have excellent ideas, because every time we get a new suggestion, I'm like, what a great idea. Because first of all, I will say this. You don't know the suggestions because you don't read the emails. But I know the suggestions, and Daddy knows the suggestions.
I only know a couple of suggestions, like, when people, like, write to me.
Right. But I will say this. I will say majority, if not, I would say majority of the suggestions are topics that even I've never heard of. And I know, and I would say even more of them are ones that I know you've never heard of. And that's coming from people who, like, a family of people who are very into the topic of, like, cryptids and creepy things and spooky things. So the fact that, like, you guys are suggesting stories for things that, like, we've never heard of is crazy. You guys are coming up with excellent topics and stories.
I was cruising the internet on Friday.
First of all, Killian does not cruise the internet, so I don't know what he's talking about. But go ahead. I don't know what story you're telling.
I typed in tarot card cryptids.
At school you did this.
At school.
I was like, first of all, you don't have access to the internet at home, so I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about at school.
At school. Understood.
At recess.
Understood. Go for it.
I was like.
Continue your story. I was very confused.
I was like, okay, I'll just type in one of my two favorite things. I typed in cryptid tarot cards.
Right.
And I saw the prettiest art ever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Also, they were just pretty cool.
Okay, sure. Anyway, so if you guys have suggestions.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
You're fine. You can send them in. And we would love that.
Yeah.
So, I think that's all we have, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions for, like, because people like your suggestions, like your TV show, your book suggestions.
Huh.
Pete, so do you have any right now?
Well, I haven't finished any new books.
Hmm. Lean back. Why are you sitting like that? Okay.
No. I don't know.
Nothing today? Maybe next time? Okay, maybe next time.
Oh, wait. Watch Stranger Things.
Okay, hold on a second. That's a hard one, because that one's a depends on their age and their parents' consent.
Oh yeah.
So that's a hard one.
Okay. If your parents allow language.
If appropriate for your age and your parents, sure, watch Stranger Things. That's what Killian has been watching recently.
So. I actually finished it.
Did you actually fully finish it? Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if you finished it. Okay. Anyway, thank you for listening.
I'm Killian.
I'm Karina, and this has been the Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time, remember,
the cryptids are watching. Done.
That was good.
That was very good.